your Bible and go to Acts 16 this morning, Acts 16, and we're going to read verses 22 through 25, but look at more than that in just a little bit. I do want you to be faithful this summer. You know, I don't really hesitate to tell you, and by the way, when I say $800 in the black, I don't mean that's all we got in the bank. I'm talking about over the last 2 weeks. If that's all we had in the bank, we'd be in trouble. We have a good general fund surplus, but we have a budget that needs to be met. You say, what about that surplus? Let me tell you something about that surplus. You know what? What's going to happen as soon as we get the plans for this building across the parking lot and leading up to it, that surplus is going to take wings. Now, but how good it'll be to pay some of those costs without coming and making a plea for money. Amen. We were, you know, folks, we did that once before. We didn't have to come make a plea because we had a general fund surplus. You know, if everybody just does what's right, I think it'll take care of itself. God will take care of it if everybody, but he has to have a channel through which to work. That's me and you. We have to do what's right. So I don't give based on the church's surplus or the church's deficit. I give based on what's right to do. Amen. And believe me, it'll all go to a good cause. And so I want to be sure to let you, I'm waiting on some things from a company that was supposed to be here the middle of May. You ever been involved in building? It's the middle of June, just about. That's how it goes. All right, so just be patient. As soon as I hear something, you'll know, and I'll share some things with you. Okay, let's stand together, please, in honor of God's Word. Acts 16, 22 through 25. If you'll join me on the odd verses, I'll read the even ones. We'll read responsively together. Have our song jump into the message this morning. Verse 22. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Let me read verse 26, too. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Dear God in heaven, thank you for your book. I pray that as we expound and open it this morning, that your Spirit will be here to do what we cannot do. We want to do, as we talked about on Wednesday night, dear Lord, we want to open and expound the Scriptures. We don't want we don't want psychology this morning. We need theology. So speak to us, Lord, through your book. Give us your power, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. We'll have this.
Too precious by far too.
If you were not here Wednesday night, we announced this couple is going to be having a baby. Amen. We're excited for them about that. So congratulations to Caleb and Emily and the little one on the way. Appreciate your prayers for Hannah. They're going to put her in the hospital tonight. And hopefully, maybe by tomorrow afternoon or sometime, that little baby will be born. So if you think about her, I would appreciate your prayers. I want to speak this morning on the subject jailhouse religion. I almost entitled this "When the Jailhouse Rocked." I didn't think that'd be very nice. So, but since you like it, I'm going to preach this morning on "When the Jailhouse Rocked." Amen. I started to put some thick sideburns on, amen. Dye my hair back, comb it straight black back, you know. When the jailhouse rocked, amen. So, glory. All right. Jailhouse religion. Let's pray together. And dear Father, please open our hearts now, seriously, to your word. May you speak to us. I want to be a help to a lot of people in this room. Lord, I pray that this truth will help several folks. Lord, I know of many people carrying heavy burdens this morning. And Lord, I probably don't know or I'm not aware of all of them in this room. So do something that only the Spirit of God can do. Be our portion, I pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're visiting here today, you're a guest. We're preaching through the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts here. We've completed missionary journey number one. Started missionary journey two last Sunday. And this morning we'll continue on. Paul and Silas reached the shores of Macedonia and immediately they took off for Philippi. The Bible says Philippi was the chief city in that part of the country. On the Sabbath day, they looked for the place of prayer. What is the place of prayer? The place of prayer is where the Jews gathered for worship if there was no synagogue. There had to be a certain minimum number of Jewish families in any town if they were going to go to the expense of building a synagogue. If there were not that many, that minimum number, the Jews still gathered for their worship. It was called the place of prayer. That's where Paul, who always went to the Jew first, that's where he went. The place of prayer was down by the riverside. There Paul preached, and there in that time of preaching, God touched the heart of Lydia, and Lydia got saved. I said last week, Lydia was a Gentile woman from Thyatira, a city that was known for the industry of dyeing beautiful colors, scarlet and purple and blues and so forth. And really, the color purple was the most famous color that the city of Thyatira was known for. And that's what Lydia was. She was a seller of purple. She marketed, if you would, purple linens and so forth. And now, she had come to Philippi, evidently to do her business. But she had gone to the place of prayer where the Jews met because she had turned her back on the false gods and the idols of the Gentile religions. Oh, there's a bunch of them. And all of them were false. And she had turned her back toward that and was searching for the truth. And boy, I'll tell you what, as the Spirit of God began to draw her to the truth, that obligated God Almighty to get her the message of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what happened. Paul went down by the riverside and he preached the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Lydia's heart was open to that. And she embraced Jesus Christ as her personal Savior and got born again. Friend, that's the only way anybody ever gets born again. You don't get born again by being dipped in a baptistry, although she got baptized in obedience to the command of God. For everybody that gets saved, the command of God is that we follow Him in believer's baptism after you get saved. A lot of denominations baptize children as infants, and that's not a good baptism. You don't get baptized until you get saved. And then you get baptized, like you saw here last week. I think we have a couple of folks lined up for baptism today, hopefully. We'll follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And so every person that gets saved ought to get baptized, and Lydia did. But you don't get baptized in order to get saved. You get baptized because you got saved. And you get saved by trusting in Jesus. You get born into God's family. And her whole family got saved. Her whole family got baptized. And they became a great blessing to the Apostle Paul and to Silas. Her home became a place where they met for prayer and for preaching and so forth and so on. So that Gentile convert here at Philippi was one of those people that when Paul had that vision, come over into Macedonia and help us. This is one of those people that Paul was meant to help. Now, as Paul and Silas continued their ministry, some strange things began to happen. And buddy, every time there's progress for God, mark it down, there'll be interference by Satan. And buddy, they were having these services and so forth, and a woman. Now, we don't have time to. All this is in chapter 16. But a woman possessed by a devil spirit started following Paul and Silas around everywhere they went and screaming and hollering. This woman was a psychic, a palm reader, a sorcerer, a crystal ball reader, if you will. And she did all that through the power of devils. You hear what I said? She did that through the power of devils. See, all this type activity, all this tarot cards and this occult and the psychic world and Harry Potter and the Ouija board and all that stuff. I hope that I don't have to take time on Sundays, day week after week, to talk to you folks about Harry Potter. I hope you see the demonism in that. And protect your kids from that kind of stuff. And Ouija boards. And don't give them access to all tarot cards. All this. All of that's powered by devils. Ultimately powered by Satan, the prince of the devils. Okay, all of that comes from the power of Satan. So protect your kids from that. And this is what this woman was. Look at verse 17 and 18. Let me just give you a couple of scriptures here, just so you'll see. Look at verse 17. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." She's crying, hollering out in the streets. And this did she many days. Paul was trying to preach. He got interrupted. Man, don't interrupt a gospel preacher. That's why we don't have interruptions here at Faith Baptist Church. We come here to hear the Bible preached. Amen. And we sit and listen. And different churches do it different way. We don't believe in open revelations, words of knowledge. People just speak out from the pew and say things. We believe that here comes a pastor, he's got a message, and we sit and listen to what God has to say. That's what Paul's trying to do. Everywhere they went, this woman followed by, "Hey, listen to these men. They're servants of the Most High God." Hey, screaming and crying. Okay. Now, how would you like that? Paul was grieved in verse 18. This grieved him. It would have said, turned and said to the Spirit. See, the Spirit that was in her, not the Holy Spirit, the devil spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. That spirit that possessed her came out. Okay. Now look at verse number 19. "And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone." Whoa. When that devil got cast out of her, the hope of their gains was gone. Now, it made them mad. You know why it made them mad? Because she made them money. Look at verse number, It says that she brought the hope of their gains was gone. She says here somewhere, verse number 16, look at it. I'm sorry, I knew it was there. Look at verse 16. "Came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain." You circle that foot, she made a lot of money. "And as soon as Paul cast that devil out of her," you know what those soothsayers said? "Uh-oh, there goes our cash cow." I'm not referring to the woman as a cow. I just mean there goes our income. There it goes, gone. Boy, they upset. Look at verse number 19. "They grabbed Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. They falsely accused them. They said, man, these men are here causing trouble. The only trouble they caused was they interrupted their source of income. That's all the trouble they caused, preaching the Word of God." Same thing happened in Ephesus later on. We don't have time to go there. Look at verse 23. "Multitude rose together against them." Look at verse 20. "When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, made their feet fast in the stocks." What horrible mistreatment. That's terribly unfair, isn't it, folks? These men weren't breaking the law. They were serving God. And can you imagine? Look at what happens as we were serving God. Can I say this morning that Paul had this in his heritage? Joseph didn't break the law. He was in prison. Jeremiah didn't break the law. He was in prison. John the Baptist didn't break the law. He was in prison. Sounds like it kind of goes along with the territory. Sounds like when you stand up for God, you don't always make everybody else happy. That kind of went along with the territory here. Born again, dedicated, sold out, on fire, bold people of God, like we talked about Wednesday night,
fervent in spirit, because Jesus wants us hot. Those type people, they aren't the most popular people in town. Now, the servant of God must not desire popularity. The servant of God must not crave acceptance by everybody. And I'm not talking about just those in the ministry. I'm talking about any born-again child of God. If you crave acceptance from lost people at work, you're going to compromise your faith. You can't crave acceptance. You can't desire to be the most popular man on the job and rightly stand for Jesus Christ, not in this dirty day in which we live. You can't do that. So you be bold for Christ, come what may. You take your stand for the Lord. Don't you compromise. You take the right. Now look, don't make enemies on purpose. You don't need to make enemies on purpose. You'll make enough just by taking a strong stand for God. You'll make enough enemies. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul here. Now let me ask you a question. Here they are in jail. They're not just in jail, folks. They're in the inner sanctum, if you will. They're in the dungeon. See, when they came, these magistrates, they put the jailer in charge of them, said, "Now you're responsible for them." Well, when he heard that, he didn't put them in minimum security. He put them in maximum security. And he put their feet in stocks. So here they are. It's midnight. Don't you know that physically they are tired? Don't you know that physically they're in pain? They're hurting. They got beaten with rods. They're in pain. They're hurting physically. They are exhausted. They're weary. Physically drained. Emotionally, they have to be drained as well. Don't you know how easy it would have been for Paul and Silas to feel sorry for themselves? Why has this happened? What have we done? Look at this. This is what we get. We give our life to serving God, and this is what comes to us. This is what I receive. This is my due reward. Do you understand how easy it would have been for them to feel like that? I wonder how many of us would have felt like that. Paul and Silas did not have time for that. The Bible says that after they were put in the inner dungeon and their feet in stocks, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. They prayed and they sang at midnight with their backs bleeding, emotionally drained, physically tired, and being treated horribly unfair. They prayed and sang. I'll tell you what, there are not many activities that you can involve yourself in when you're hurting. And I'm preaching to some hurting people this morning. Now, I know who some of them are. I'm probably preaching to hurting people I don't know about. But there are hardly any other activities you could engage in if you're hurting that will do more for your spirit than praying and singing. Praying and singing. And by the way, I believe that the order here is important. They prayed first. Then they sang. You see, I don't know how you read this. Maybe you have a different take on it than I do. But I can't imagine these men, after the jailer has secured them in the dungeon, it's dark and there's no light. I just can't imagine Paul looking at Silas and saying, "Glory to God. This is a blessing. This is great. What an opportunity." Do you really think they did that? Now, I don't think they complained. But I think for a few minutes they probably sat there and they probably thought, "What in the world? What in the world?" They're drained. They're tired. I can't imagine them being just bubbling over. But I want to tell you something, friend. They're probably confused. Hadn't they been obedient to God? Here in Philippi, they came because of that Macedonian vision. God led them there. They're confused. They're hurting physically. They're probably hurting emotionally. And the first thing they did was not sing. The first thing they did was pray. You see, I believe this order of these words is very important. God didn't just throw words in the Bible and hope they come out in some order. They prayed. They prayed first. You pray first when you're confused. When you're hurting, when you're disappointed, when you're trying to make sense out of circumstances in a marriage that may be hurting, or this may be hurting, or a parent-child relationship, or my job, or look at this, when there's a sense of confusion and despair, you don't just start singing, "Where's your song?" But you start praying. That's exactly what they did. When trouble comes, pray. When disappointment comes, pray. When reversal comes, pray. When defeat comes, pray. When heartache comes, pray. When pain comes, pray. When loneliness comes, pray. When confusion comes, pray. At midnight, pray. They prayed. That's exactly what they did. They prayed first. And boy, I'll tell you what. Their prayer wrought some tremendous events for them. They prayed. And I'm talking to people this morning. My whole purpose, I believe God laid this on my heart this morning to say to you this morning, please, in the midst of your despair and disappointment and confusion and what is going on, and in the midst of your pain, both emotionally and maybe physically, don't you neglect the opportunity, the avenue, the door, the threshold of prayer. Prayer unlocks so many things for a child of God. They prayed. Now I want you to see what their prayer did in this chapter. Let me give you three things this morning. We'll be done, hit the road here in just a few minutes. First of all, let's say this. Their prayer produced a song in their heart. The Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang. They didn't. And by the way, they didn't just sing, they sang what? Praises. Again, folks, I don't think they hit the jail with their hands and their feet in the stocks, beaten and bloody, saying, "Yee-hoo, what a glorious blessing this is." I think they hit that jail going, "What is going on?" They turned their hearts to God and prayed. And you know what prayer did? Prayer birthed a song in their heart. Prayer put a song of praise. By the way, Paul was a Jew. Silas was a Jew. Now let me ask you a question. You ever read the book of Psalms? The book of Psalms is filled with songs, listen to me, that are mournful songs of sorrow, songs of sadness. When you read the book of Psalms, you can identify with that. But David wrote many of those songs. They were for sorrowful occasions. I mean, downhearted and dispirited songs. But they didn't sing those songs. They sang praises. They were rejoicing. They were glorifying God. How could they sing songs of praise? Because they prayed first. They prayed first. And then the song of praise was birthed in their heart. We'll tell you what far too many of us attempt to sing. We attempt to sing in difficult times. We attempt to keep a smile and stay upbeat, you know, and endure the tests without prayer. But you listen to me. You cannot produce a song of praise from a heart of prayerlessness. Now you put that down, friend. You can't produce a song of praise from a heart of prayerlessness. Prayer is what birthed this song in their hearts. I'll tell you what we do. See, we don't take time to pray. We take time for everything else but prayer. Prayer was what produced this song in this time of difficulty. Here's what we do. We get confused. We get lonesome. We hit a difficult time. We get some problems going on. And we run to the stereo and we put on a little Christian bebop music that has a little, you know, a little beat to it. And it kind of makes us feel good, you know, for the length of the song times two. The song lasts 4 minutes. And maybe we feel good for 8 minutes. And then it's gone. And then I got to find another little bebop song to put on because, man, I want something to make me feel good. And so I put this little bebop song on. And music can be a big help, friend. But I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you what you need in a time of sorrow and loneliness and confusion and difficulty. You don't need a bebop song on the stereo. You need God to put a song in your heart. You know how that happens? After you get on your knees or get on your face and you weep and you cry. And you pray to God and you say, "Lord, I do not understand this. I don't understand what's going on. I'm confused. I don't know which way to turn. Oh, God," and let the hot tears flow down your cheeks. And friend, I'll tell you, after that happens, when you stand up off your knees or your face, see if God hasn't put a song in your heart. Prayer produces a song in your heart. I would a thousand times rather have a song coming from within here that God put in me than some bebop ditty on the Christian rock and roll station that lasts for 5 minutes and is over. And I'll tell you what, that's what we've resorted to. We've resorted to the feel-good psychology of some little Christian ditty. It helps us for about 6 minutes and then we got to have another infusion. And I'm not against good music. But I'm going to tell you something. In the time of confusion, if you'll spend the time in prayer, God will put a song in your heart. And it won't last 6 minutes. It'll be with you for a long time. Oh, yes, it will. We don't take time to pray. These men began to pray. You say, Pastor, I don't have time to take 30 minutes. I have little children. I have a schedule. I got to be at work at a certain time, you men. There's time to pray. Live in the spirit of prayer. When your mind is not occupied on something that takes attention and concentration, let the request come from your heart. Oh, God, help me. Oh, Lord, please, I don't understand. Oh, God, please, this hurts. I'm in emotional pain. I am in confusion. I don't know why this is going on. Oh, God, do something. Live in a constant spirit of prayer. You don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to be on your face. There's nothing wrong with that. You can be driving down the road. But live in the atmosphere of prayer, friend. And God will birth a song in your heart. It begins with prayer. I believe if you pray, it will produce a song. I've had that happen. I have been so confused and so don't know which way to go and say, Lord, what is going on? And just spend some time with Him. And I mean, be honest. Come out of that prayer time with a song that didn't come off somebody's CD or somebody's radio. A song that God put in my heart. Where's the radio here? Where's the CD player here? Paul didn't have an iPod. He had something better than an iPod. He had a God who put a song in his heart with his back bleeding and cut open and his feet in stocks. Began to sing praises to God Almighty. Yeah. Jailhouse religion. A prayer. Prayer produces a song in your heart. Prayer produced a song in their heart. Let me show you number two here. Look at verse number 26. We read it just a minute ago. Their prayer pleased and honored God. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Let me ask you a question. Who sent that earthquake? Well, the plates began to boil. The plates began to shift in the earth and the plates. Remember Ron Garris preaching that message? The plates. Some scientific bozo. I'll tell you what caused that earthquake. God sent it. God sent it. He's the one who sent that earthquake. You see, when the sounds of their praises in song reached God's ears, He was pleased and honored by that. Their praying and singing was the element that was used to move His heart and move His hand. You see, His hand caused the earthquake, but it was His heart that moved His hand. God is pleased. He wants to hear us sing during the difficult times. Prayer births a song, and singing praises to a mighty God pleases Him, especially if it's in a time of difficulty. I love that song. Occasionally, some group will come through and sing it, or one of our groups will sing it or solo. God wants to hear you sing. Their chains were fastened tight down at the jail that night. Still, Paul and Silas would not be dismayed. They said, it's time to lift our voice. Sing praises to the Lord. Let's prove that we will trust Him, come what may. God wants to hear you sing. When the waves are crashing around you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. Are you there this morning, lady? Is that all you see? Despair. The fiery darts all around you, surround you. Is that what it is, sir? Is that where you are this morning? You know what? The songwriter went on to say, when despair is all you can see, God wants to hear your voice. When the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstances are as hopeless as can be, that's when God wants to hear you say. Then. And when that song comes from your heart, God is listening, my friend, and He hears that. And it pleases Him and honors Him and empowers Him to do things in your life that are absolutely incredible. You know what God hears most of the time? When we get in situations where we're confused and in despair, I'll tell you what He hears most of the time: complaining. I'll tell you what He hears sometimes is cynicism. We get cynical. Now, if this is what serving God does, yeah, boy, what a loving God He is. Man, got saved, got baptized, and started in the church. Look what happened. That's cynicism. Cynicism. You don't think God hears that? God hears cynicism. God hears criticism. God hears complaining. God hears cursing. But God's not doing anything for me. He wants to hear you sing, not curse. He wants to hear you sing, not be a cynic. He wants to hear you sing, not complain. He wants to hear us sing, not criticize. That's what He's listening for. Huh? And God hears a song in the midst of confusion. Gabriel, do you hear that? Gabriel, do you hear that song? Listen to that. Listen to that. Listen to that child down there. Listen to that man. Driving to work, his heart is broken. But I put a song in his heart. And he's lifting his voice to me. Listen to that song. Listen to that lady, son. Listen to her as she washes those dishes. And the tears roll down her cheeks. And she lifts her voice in singing praises to God. She's confused and she's in despair. She doesn't see any hope in this thing. And yet, listen to that song. Listen to that. Amen. It pleased God and honored God. Man, He sent that earthquake. I mean, in the middle of the night. Huh? God is able to do that for me and you, friend. Look at me and listen to me. If I can do anything this morning, let me tell you that the same God that Paul and Silas sang to is your God. This is not a God for ages past. He is a very present help in a time of trouble. He's got to become real again to us. We've got to quit talking about what He's done for so-and-so in the past and see God do something in our life. And He will. You've got to follow the recipe. They prayed. They prayed first. God put a song in their heart. And listen, glory to God, any temptation to be cynical or complaining or critical, that song just washed it away. And Paul said, "Sigh, let's sing. All praise to Him who reigns above." And that would have been difficult because that was written after Paul and Silas were in prison. But you get the picture, amen? Huh? Their prayer produced a song. Their prayer pleased God. Let me finish, number three. And this is what's so great about it, friend. Their prayer pointed others to salvation. Look at verse 25. You with me this morning, amen? Look at the last phrase of verse number 25. And the prisoners heard. Let me ask you a question. What do you reckon those prisoners had heard before? What do you reckon those prisoners had heard from old boys that were thrown into the jail, the inner dungeon, their feet put in the stocks, and the jailer walked away and spit on them? What do you reckon they'd heard before?
Blank it out of here, you blank it, blank it, blank. I'll tell you, blank it, blank. What are they hearing? Listen to that. Listen to that. They're singing. Calling on their God and singing. The Bible says the prisoners heard them. Then the earthquake came. Verse number 26, everyone's bands were loosed. Let me ask you a question. We read the Bible like it's a fairy tale. If you're in prison, bound up in stocks and bonds, and all of a sudden, click, 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 all the handcuffs are gone, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to hit the road, aren't you? Huh? Sure you are. Oh, no, no. I believe I should get what I deserve. Baloney. But look at verse number 27. The keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoner, he said, it's over, boys. It's over for me. I'm done. Look at Paul says, verse 28. Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Everybody's here. And make it short, verses 29. Then he called for a light. The jailer did. Sprang in, came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas. It wasn't just the earthquake. Look at me. It wasn't just the earthquake. It was the singing, the praying he heard, the singing he heard, and the fact that those prisoners were all there. And Paul said, relax, jailer. Relax. Now look at me. I'm done. This jailer was one plunge of the sword. Listen to this. From eternity in hell. He pulled his sword out, put it up to his neck. All he's got to do is, and he's in hell. For eternity. He is standing on the precipice of hell. He's about to fall over into the eternal pit of the damned. Sword drawn. But a prisoner's song was used as the means of grace that plucked him from the burning at the last second. Did you hear that? It was not a Bible sermon. It was not the Romans Road plan of salvation. It was not a detailed Bible study. This man was standing on the border of hell, ready to take his life. And you say because he commits suicide, he goes to hell. No, he would have gone to hell because he would have died without Christ. That's why people go to hell. Not because they do this, do that, do this, do that. Oh yeah, all suicide people go to hell. And so do gangbangers. But us people that are better than them, we go to heaven. No, everybody who goes to hell does so because they don't have Christ as their Savior. God doesn't send people to hell because they lie. They lie because they're sinners. If you die without Christ, that's where you're going. That jailer was one step from hell. And the testimony of those two prisoners. Snatched him from the burning. What if it had been fair testimony. Now watch it. I got it done. Paul and Silas saw the end of their trial. That jailer got saved. He fell down on his knees and he said, what must I do to be saved? And this answer ought to lay to rest any argument. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Hey, water regeneration preacher, why didn't Paul say get saved and get baptized? He didn't say that. He said, you trust in Jesus, you'll go to heaven. And the jailer got saved. And Mrs. Jailer got saved. And all the little jailer children got saved. And all the jailer family got baptized. Now watch this. Paul and Silas, look at me. This is key, and I know we're done. Don't get antsy. It's 12:02, according to our new clock in the sound booth up there. I don't have to do this anymore. And then everybody else goes,
All I got to do is glance up there. You think I'm looking at Brother Greg. Make sure he's awake. Amen. Listen to me. If this is the jailer, Brother Paul and Silas, just stand right there. Paul and Silas could see. Oh. Lord, now we get it. We're in jail. So he could be plucked from the burning. They could see it. Thank you, Brother Caleb. Now listen to me. You may not be able to see why you're going through what you're going through right now. Are you listening? Before he got saved, I'm sure Paul and Silas were a little bit confused, but they said, you know what? No cynicism, no criticism, no complaining, no cursing. As a result of praying, they sang, and then they could see the end of their trial. A whole family comes to Christ. A whole family comes to Christ. I wonder if that's what God's trying to do with your situation. I wonder who's watching you and just kind of watching you. Watching your spirit and your attitude. They know what you're going through. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a close family friend. And they're watching what you're going through and they see you responding to a difficult time with prayer and singing and the Spirit of God on you. And who knows what God's going to do through your testimony. Through your testimony. A whole family gets saved and baptized and joins the church because Paul and Silas had jailhouse religion. They had a faith that didn't desert them in the confusing times. They had a faith that didn't desert them. They had a God that didn't desert them. And they prayed. And God put a song in their heart, was pleased with their response, and he used it to point others to salvation. And God wants to do that through your test. You may not see the end of it right now. Just hang in there. Stay faithful. Don't turn cynical. Don't turn caustic toward God. Just let him work. Pray, sing. And let God do the rest. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Let me ask a couple of questions before we dismiss the service. Who's here today would say, Pastor Angel, I know that I'm saved. Member or visitor. Here, let me ask you to do this. All I'm going to ask you to do is to please be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Dishonest people cannot be helped. So if you'll be honest, you can be helped. Who's here this morning? Say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know where I'd go. I know where I'd spend eternity. I've been born into God's family and I know it. Would you raise your hand, please, if that's your testimony this morning? Thank you. Take your hands down. Who's here would say, Pastor, I could not say that honestly. I don't know that I'm saved and that concerns me. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. Would you just put it up there? God bless you, you and you. God bless you. That's wonderful. Somebody else. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going when I die. I see a child's hand. I saw three adults' hands. Anybody else? God bless you, sir. I see your hand. Amen. I don't know where I'm going when I die. I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. We're going to need some help this morning at the altar here in just a moment. I don't know where I'm going when I die. All right, look at me just for a minute. Those of you that raised a hand just now, nobody else, just you that raised a hand, look at me just for a moment here. You don't know for sure where you're going when you die. Thank you for your honesty. I was like that one time in their service. I didn't know where I was going. And a preacher gave me the opportunity for somebody to show me from the Bible how to be saved. Now, nobody's looking. We got these men here, these ladies here, that are ready to show you how to be saved this morning. God loves you, and He wants to be your Savior. So nobody's looking, so you won't be embarrassed. Why don't you come right now? We'll show you how to be saved. Just keep, those people will let you out. Just tell them you want to come. Just come on down to the front. We'll let them come right down here to Caleb. That's right. God bless you. Just come on. We're going to show you how to be saved this morning. If you meant that, God bless you. Somebody else, would you come? That's right. God bless you. Would you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Please. I'm not trying to get you to be a Baptist. I'm not trying to play tricks on you. I just want you to find out how to be saved. Would you come? Why don't you come this morning? Nobody's looking. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Just that's right. That's right. That's right. That's good. Amen. That's good. That's good. God bless you. Always be ready to let people get out.
God bless you. Would you come from back to back here? Ma'am, you raised your hand. I couldn't see. You raised your hand for salvation. Would you come? Maybe you're a little embarrassed to come. We're going to need another lady here. Maybe you're a little embarrassed to come. You don't know what. Don't be scared. This is not tricks. This is no games. Nobody's going to play any tricks or games. We're going to show you from the Bible what it means to be saved. Would you come? Let us show you how to be saved this morning. I beg you. My heart yearns for you to get saved. All right. Who's here this morning would say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I've not been baptized in deep water after my salvation. Pray for me. I need to be obedient to Christ. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand this morning? All right. God bless you. Anybody else? And you? If you're here this morning, God bless you. If you're here this morning, you want to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, be obedient to Him. You come right now. Scott and Linda are ready to help those that come to be baptized. So while we wait, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, come right now. Follow the Lord in believers' baptism. You do that, we'll be glad to get you baptized this morning. God bless you. Somebody else, you want to come? Follow the Lord in believers' baptism this morning. God bless you. Somebody else. All right. Now, Christian, let me ask you a question this morning while these are being talked to, while we're getting ready for baptism. Let me ask you a question. Do you need a song in your heart this morning? Are you in the midst of confusion, despair, loneliness, pain, physical or emotional pain? God wants to hear you sing, and He'll give you the song to sing if you'll pray. And He'll be pleased to hear that song. You pray, God will give you a song. He'll be pleased to hear it. And He may use it to point others to salvation. You'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I needed that message this morning. Would you lift your hand? I see that hand. Somebody else? God bless you. There's a bunch of you. God bless you. Me too. Amen. My God and Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your book. I thank You for all it teaches us. I thank You, dear Lord, for what You do for us through the preaching of Your Word. Now, oh God, I pray that You'll use this message in the hearts of all these people. Lord, maybe somebody doesn't need the message today. Maybe they'll need it next week or the week after. God, help us to pray. Put a song in our heart. May we sing it. May it be pleasing to You. May You point others to salvation because of it, I pray. In Jesus' name, help these folks today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you know that you're supposed to join the church during the invitation time, you come see Brother Caleb. If you're not saved, if you don't know that you're saved, when we stand in just a moment and the ladies play, walk right down the aisle, Brother Caleb here, and just say, I want to be saved. I beg you to come and trust Christ. I beg you to do that. Let's stand together, please. If the Spirit of God spoke to your heart, why don't you come this morning? And let's use the altar a little bit. A lot of hands went up. Let's not make the altar infrequent. Why don't you come this morning? Would you do that? Would you come this morning? Let's show you how to be saved. Step out and tell them you want to come to the front. Would you come? Would you come this morning? You know you're supposed to join the church. You call this right there. Would you come? Would you come this morning? They beg you to come. Please don't leave here without Christ. Would you please come this morning? Salvation. I thank you. Come this morning. Let's take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Oh God, put a song in my heart. Put a song in my heart.